deal with, we have a lot of ministry that deals with children, our bus ministry, our children's church ministries, our junior ministry, our youth ministry, Sunday school ministry, child care, child development, our school. We just want to reach the young people, want to make a difference in their lives, reach their families. That's really what we're trying to do, is just reach families so that young people have a better opportunity. Take your Bible, if you would, and turn with me to Deuteronomy. I want to give you just a few thoughts that the Lord's laid on my heart about the Ten Commandments. We've been going through the Ten Commandments. Deuteronomy chapter number 5, if you will find your place there. And whilst you're finding your place, when you find your place, you can stand to your feet. Deuteronomy chapter 5. And I want to encourage you, we're going to have some flyers, the Lord willing, Sunday about the tent meeting. And I want to encourage you to start inviting people and get them to come to the tent meeting. Some of you never heard Dwayne Moore preach. You'll really enjoy hearing Dwayne Moore preach. He's a preacher. Amen. He is. He's a preacher. And I love Brother Moore, and I love his ministry, and he's been a big help to me. He's been a big help to Fellowship Baptist Church, and we're looking forward to him being with us. That's the 22nd, that's a Sunday, through the 27th, which is a Friday of May. And so you pray much for Brother Moore and pray for the meeting. All right, I want you to look with me. I'm just going to kind of highlight a few things. Look with me, Deuteronomy chapter 5, are you there? Look down with me at verse number 7. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. That's the first commandment. We talked about that. Then in verse number 8, thou shalt not make thee any graven image or any likeness of anything. And so God said, number 1, no other gods. Number 2, don't worship idols. Don't have graven images. Don't have things of likeness that you could worship, as far as lay your hands tangible, touch them. Don't be involved in idolatry. Look at verse number 11. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. And God went on to say, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. It's a very serious offense to defame the name of the Lord. And so be very careful about the words that you choose. Know what the words that you use mean. And don't get caught up in using a lot of slang language. You may end up saying something that's not good, or could be a very bad testimony, or perhaps even bring the judgment of the Lord upon your life. So be careful. And then the fourth commandment in verse number 12, we have, keep the Sabbath day to sanctify it, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee. Now, these first four commandments deal with God. Now, God always starts with him, right? God always starts with him. He always starts with himself. Remember the model prayer that we've been going through? It started with God. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. God starts with himself. Why? Because there's a broken relationship that needs to be repaired. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. Then I want you to drop down with me in verse number 16. And this is the first of the next six commandments that change. There's going to be a change here. All right? The change goes from the relationship with God to our relationship with man. All right? So God said, you get your relationship with me fixed. That's first priority. You get this relationship right. You know who I am. You know what my expectations are. You know about me. And then your relationship with man can be put straight. But you're not going to get right with man until you make it right with God. That's why God starts with himself. In the commandments, he does it throughout the scripture. God always starts with himself. He said, if you want to get right this way with these, you've got to get right this way. All right? And he said, you get right this way, and it'll really go a long way in helping you to get right this way. And so he starts in verse number 16, and he said, the first people, in other words, get right with God. And I want you to notice once you get that relationship right, look at the first people that he says that he wants you to make sure you stay right with. Your parents. Your family. Amen. You make sure you keep things right in your family. Now you say, well, now you just don't know my background and you don't know mine. Everybody could have an excuse, and we're going to talk about that. He said, I want you to honor thy father and thy mother. All right, we're going to talk about that. And he said, if you'll do that, he said, the Lord thy God, in verse number 16, he's commanded thee to do that, that thy days may be prolonged, that it may be well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Now, all these commandments were given to the children of Israel because they were getting ready to inherit the land. Remember, we've been studying out of the book of Deuteronomy. They're getting ready to pass over the Jordan. They're getting ready to go into Canaan's land. He said, I'm going to tell you how to live prosperous in the land. I'm going to tell you how to have good life. All right? Want to have a good life? He said, you want to have a land that is good? Then you're going to have to raise up some children that understand the importance of honoring their parents. You want a land that's gone crazy? Then let your children disobey their parents and disrespect their parents, and you'll have modern-day America on your hands. So, when this commandment was given, it was given with an intent. Paul called it in Ephesians chapter 6, the first commandment with promise. It has a promise attached to it. I want you to notice again what he says here. He said in verse number 16, honor thy father and thy mother as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged. That's a good promise. And we'll talk about that in a minute. So, well, not every good person has a long life. Well, we'll talk about that. Jesus didn't have a long life. Sometimes, you know, God's purposes are better fulfilled in death than they are in life. That's right. God can do some things in death that he can't do in life. I want you to understand that. It'll help you to understand a lot of things that happen in life when you get that mindset. And that it may be well with thee, in verse 16, in the land. Right? God said, I'm sending you to a land that it's going to be well with thee. Then he follows up in verse number 17, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery. The eighth commandment is in verse 19, thou shalt not steal. Verse number, the ninth commandment, neither shalt thou bear false witness. And then the tenth commandment is thou shalt not desire thy neighbor's wife, neither shalt thou covet. Thou shalt not covet. I want to talk to you a little bit, just a little bit. I'm going to lay some foundation tonight about honor thy father and thy mother. It's a hard one sometimes for some folks. It really is. Listen, I know. I understand what some people come up in. All right? You say, oh, you don't understand my situation. Well, you don't know what I understand. I've had some situations in my life too. You're not the only person that's had any hard times. Everybody has hard times. Right? Man born of woman, his days are full of trouble. Right? Amen. So let's pray and talk about it. Father, thank you for the Word of God. And I pray you'd help us now. Help us to understand your Word. Help us to take your Word at heart and teach us from your Word. God, help us to be obedient to your Word. And help us to bring ourselves under the authority of your Word in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. You may be seated. Now, I'm going to lay a foundation tonight. And so I want to give you some things, just talk about honor thy father, thy mother, and I'm going to give you some, going to build around kind of three simple thoughts here for us. All right? The first thing I want you to notice in this commandment is that it's a commandment that's manward. We've been dealing with commandments that were Godward, right? God's name, God's worship, God's day, the Sabbath. And so now he said, now we're going to deal with our fellow man. I want you to hold your place here and turn to Matthew chapter 22 just for a moment. And I want to show you what the Word of God says, what Jesus said about the commandments. Now, when the commandments were given, I don't think that it was by mistake that they were given on two stones. I don't think that's by mistake. I think that the stones are representative. I think they represent that God had two main themes in mind. God had a Godward theme in mind, and God had a manward theme in mind. There were commandments that were Godward, and God said these are important. These are the two most important relationships in life, your relationship with God and your relationship with others. They're very important. As a matter of fact, we're going to read here in just a moment, they're the most important. All right? And so he gave the commandments, and he gave 10, and the first four deal with our relationship with God. Now he said, I want to deal with you about your relationship with others. In Matthew chapter 22, I hope you have your Bible turned there. I want to read in verse number 37. That's where we'll pick up. Matthew 22 In verse number 37, there was a lawyer who came and he questioned Jesus, tempting him, and he asked him this question in verse 36 of Matthew 22. He said, "Master, which is the great commandment of the law? Which is the great commandment of the law?" And Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment." Then he said in verse number 39, "And the second is likened to it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." And so Jesus summed it up right here. He said, this relationship right here is the most important relationship known to man. Man and God. You need to get that relationship fixed and you need to keep it fixed. Right? You need to stay in fellowship with God. When you break fellowship with God, get it mended. Get it mended. That's right. Stay in fellowship with God. How do you stay in fellowship with God, preacher? Well, let's talk first of all how you get in fellowship with God. You get in fellowship with God by making peace with God. You make peace with God through the blood of His cross. You come to Jesus by faith and you admit you're a sinner. You repent of your sin. You ask Jesus to be your Savior. By faith, you place your faith in the finished work of Christ, that He died for your sin, that He was buried, that He rose again the third day, and by faith you receive His finished work for the forgiveness of your sin. And the Bible says, if you'll do that, thou shalt be saved. That fixes your relationship with God that was broken by sin. Right? Amen. Amen. Now, how do you keep it fixed? Well, you keep it fixed by keeping short accounts with God. When you sin, confess your sin. Right then, confess it. When you sin, you say, well, I'm not sure if I know when I sin. Well, now, come on now. I think you do know when you sin. The Spirit of God tells me when I sin. He tells me every time I sin. That's right. He's on me like butter on bread. Amen. I mean, the Spirit of God, He's repeatedly telling me when I do wrong. And I'm glad for it. I'm glad for it. I don't want to ever get deaf to the voice of God. But now, you know you can. You can harden your heart. And your hearing will be dull. Isn't that what the Bible teaches? Paul said it in Hebrews 5. You'll become dull of hearing now. So you just can't keep turning a deaf ear when God says it's wrong, make it right. It's wrong, make it right. And you don't make it right. Listen to me now. I'm trying to help you. When you don't make it right, you become dull of hearing. And your heart will become calloused. So when you know that there is sin in your life, confess it. Not to the preacher, not to your buddies. You confess it to God. Now, if you've sinned against somebody, after you confess it to God, go confess it to them. Amen. This is Bible. I'm trying to tell you how to have a good relationship with God so you can sleep well at night and so you can enjoy your days. The Bible talks about loving life and seeing good days in the book of Peter, and that's the way you do it. You get saved, you get your sin forgiven, and then as you walk through life, you're going to sin. It's not a matter if you're going to sin, it's what you're going to do when you sin. Confess it. The word confession simply means acknowledging. It's agreement. God, I'm agreeing with You. I'm acknowledging my sin as sin because You said it was. It's sin because You said it was, God, and I confess it. Right? Amen. Amen. Get that relationship right with God. Then, the second thing, notice what Jesus said in verse 39, and the second is likened to it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You got it. Listen, you have to stay right with man. When you get right with God, it'll help you stay right with man. It will. It'll make you more patient. It'll make you more forgiving. It'll make you more loving, more gracious. When I'm right with God, I'm the best version of me that you're ever going to see. You know, you say, well, that's not very much. Well, you know, it's the best I got. Amen. God's using what I have. And when you're right with God, it's the best version of you you'll ever be. I want you to understand that. Stay right with God. When you're right with God, you're the best wife, you're the best mother, you're the best husband, you're the best father, you're the best Christian, you're the best pastor, you're the best worker when you're right with God. Amen. Stay right with God, and it'll help you stay right with man. Now, when you're wrong man, you got to go to him and say, you know what? I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have done that. And I'm sorry, and I'm going to ask you to forgive me. That's right. You say, I don't think I could do that, preacher. Well, pride will keep you from doing it, but if you'll confess it now to God, God will give you strength, and he'll humble you to go to that person and tell them. That's the way you patch up relationships. All right. So these are two very important relationships. Now, let's turn back to Deuteronomy, and I'm going to talk to you about parenting a little bit in the time we have left. Got about 20 minutes. You clocking it? 20. Let me give you a few things here. So we sit here in verse 16, honor thy father and thy mother. I want you to write down three words. I want you to write down parents. Thank God for parents. So I don't thank God for my parents. Well, would you if I gave you one thing you could thank God for them for? Well, I'd thank God for my parents if you just gave me one thing I could thank God for them for. Well, without them, you wouldn't be here. Amen. That's right. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. Parents, that's what I see in this verse of Scripture. Honor thy father and thy mother. Now, maybe you didn't have the best father, best mother. I don't know. Maybe if I talked to them, they'd say they didn't have the best daughter or the best son. None of us are perfect. You know? I realize there's some extenuating circumstances. And we'll talk about that a little bit as well. So I want you to talk about parents. All right? Then I want you to talk about precepts. We're going to talk about that. Underline the word honor. What's the word honor mean? When the Bible says honor thy father and thy mother, what's the word honor mean? So we're going to talk about that. Now, we won't get into detail with that tonight. Just going to highlight some things. So we're going to talk about parents, father and mother. And then we're going to talk about precepts. All right? What does it mean to honor? Honor and obey is not the same. Now, children are required to do both. Amen. Yes, to honor and obey. So there's parents and there's precepts. And I want you to look at this promise. This a commandment has a promise attached to it. And so when I read this commandment, those are the three things that jump out at me. All right? When I read verse 16, honor thy father and thy mother, I automatically think about parents. You think about a father, you think about a mother. That's what makes you a mother, a parent. You're a parent. That's what makes you a father. You're a parent. You parented a child, right? That's what makes you different than just a man or a woman or a husband and a wife. You're a parent. And what a great responsibility that is. Brethren, our country has forgotten the responsibility that's been laid on a parent. It's a great responsibility to be a parent. We have folks that are just, listen, they're just having babies like it's nothing. Like, you know, it's no big deal. There's not much to it. Hey, there is a grave responsibility to this thing called parenting. And God is going to hold parents responsible. I want you to know that. See, a lot of times we look at the young people, and I tell you right now, this young generation's gone mad. Well, I think the parents have. Let's start with where the problem began. Somebody's not training their children. Amen. And so it says here, parents, then precepts, honor, honor. So I think we can expect some things out of the parents. But I think we can expect some things out of the children. Honor, right? And then promise. The promise. There's some promises attached to this. We'll spend some time. Before I come back to the parents, I want to talk a little bit about the precept. What does it mean to honor? I want you to write this down. Honor, the word honor, it means to give weight to. It means to hold in high esteem. Its rule is intended to regulate thought or behavior. All right? Honor. It means to esteem highly, to show respect. Are we seeing that much today, brethren? Respect. It's missing. But whose job is it to teach children respect? Is it the preachers? Is it the churches? Is it the Sunday school teacher? Is it the school teacher? It's the parents. Amen. If you have children, you teach your children respect. All right? Now, the Bible also teaches obedience. I could turn over in the book of Ephesians, also in the book of Colossians, and it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. It's right. And it's well-pleasing to the Lord. Obedience. Who teaches children to obey? Parents. Parents, when you don't teach your children to obey, I want you to please listen to me. There's three main institutions in this world. God set them up. The home. You listening? The home. Very important. God set it up. Now, parents, hear me. God's going to hold you accountable for your home. You're going to answer to God for your home. You're going to answer to God for your duty as a father. I'm going to answer to God for my duty as a father. You ladies are going to answer to God for your duty as a mother, as a wife. We're going to answer to God for it. It was my responsibility to teach my children to obey. Amen. It's not the school's responsibility. It's not the church's responsibility. Now, thank God for people who aid and come alongside. That's right. It's your responsibility as a parent. The home. Then there's government. That's a God-instituted forum, the government. God-instituted government. And then there's the church. These are the three main God-instituted forums that He has placed on this earth. You know what every one of them have? Structure. Authority. And God expects us to teach children structure and authority and obedience to authority. When I do not teach my children to obey, I'm making it hard on them in life. Now, please listen to me. Please listen. I'm not going to get too deep into this because I'm going to preach this message on a Sunday night, but I'm going to whet your appetite a little bit. See, a lot of people think, well, I'm doing my children a favor by not holding them accountable and letting them get by with stuff. Now, you're making it really hard on them because they're going to go to work and they're going to think, well, I don't have to obey mom and dad or school. We'll start there. I don't have to obey mom and dad. I'm not going to obey my teacher. See, it's going to make it hard on them in school. Why? Because you are failing at your job. You won't do your job. Teach your children to obey. I'm not being mean to you. I'm not fussing at you. I'm charging you. Teach your children to obey. Teach them to obey. How, preacher? Every time. On time. In our home, we had immediate obedience, and there were consequences when it didn't happen. You say, what were they? Oh, I don't know. Ask my children. They'll tell you. I'm not trying to be smart aleck here. See, I understood this. I had this broke down to me. All right? You want to make it hard on your children? Let them get by with everything. Coddle them. Take up for them. Never see their faults. Think they're angels. Right? Let them get by with everything. Be there to take up for them when somebody finds something that they've done, and instead of taking them home. You know what happened when I got in trouble at school? Back then they gave you paddlings. How many of you remember old-fashioned paddlings back in the schoolhouse? Okay? I got a paddling at school. Now children run home, she paddled me. And mama goes running up there, boy, she's ready to fight. Well, I didn't run home and tell my mom I got a paddling. Yeah, sound like you got one too, Pete. Amen. Are we related? Some of you know what I'm talking about. It's real now. But see, that's back when parents made their children obey or wish they would have. So, obedience, teaching your children to obey. If you don't, you're making it hard on them. Don't think you're doing them a favor now. You're making it hard on them. Because if they don't have to obey mom and dad, they're not going to obey the teacher. They're not going to obey the lawman. Listen to me now. They're not going to obey the magistrate. They're not going to obey the judge. They're not going to obey the supervisor. They're not going to obey the foreman because they think that they call the shots. I got some news that you need to give your children. They don't call the shots. Okay? You need to let your children know you don't call the shots. It'll be a long time for your calling shots. Amen? And the sooner you can get that settled now, I'm telling you. I realize that you don't hear stuff like this much in our world anymore. It's sad, isn't it? I mean, it's sad that we're sitting here having to have this conversation that kids don't call the shots. I mean, that's sad. We never had that conversation in my home, I can tell you that. It should be an understood bit of information. So I want to just try to help you now. Obedience, we're talking about the precept, honor and obedience. Home, government, church, the responsibility of the parent is to train and to teach. Teach and train them. That's your responsibility, sir. ma'am, it's your responsibility. So, oh, preacher, I leave it all up to the old lady. You do? Well, first of all, old lady, where's that coming from? You got some problems in your home. That's your wife, sir. That's the mother of your children. She ought to be a queen in your sight. You ought to treat her like a queen. Say amen real loud, man. Thank God for good, godly ladies. Amen. Don't you defame her by that. You call her anything. You call her sweetheart, honey, whatever you call her, but don't call her old lady. You don't want to train your children that way. It's going to be hard to honor someone you're calling old lady. Right? Yeah. So, anyway, the precept, honor, teach your children, put structure in their life, be good for them. And then there's the promise that it may be well with thee when thou gettest into the land. The promise. Well, what do you think that means? Look at it. Verse number 16. Honor thy father and thy mother as the Lord hath commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged and that it may be well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. What's that? What do you think that means? Have you ever been in a... Let's take Walmart. I think everybody's been in Walmart. Is there anybody here who has never been in Walmart? Amen. If it is, I want to get your signature. Amen. You ever been in Walmart and you hear this commotion, and then out of the corner of your eye you see, like, I don't know, maybe World War III going over here between a couple of children and a parent or a couple of parents. I mean, it's literally like, it's like two gangs fighting, but really it's a family. And you're thinking, what's going on over here? What's happening here? And it's just, I mean, it's just out of control. That's what's wrong with our country. That stuff don't fly. I tell you what to do, I expect you to do it. You're my son. You do what I tell you to do. When I say do it and how I say do it. Amen. You're my daughter. You do what I say, when I say, how I say. And when you have your children, you do the same. Right? So I'm not going to be that hard on them. Yeah, I know. I can tell. I can tell. So that's what we've done. We've let up. We're more concerned about our children having fun. Listen to me now. I'm not being mean. I'm telling you what's wrong with our society. We're more concerned about our children having fun and entertaining our children than training them and teaching them respect and honor. And now look what we're faced with. You see that promise there? Did you read that promise? That it may be well with thee when thou goest into the land which the Lord thy God gave thee. Our land is almost anarchy. You can't even walk down. Listen, if I had a child in this day in which we live, I wouldn't let my child walk down the street by him or herself. Would you? You say, I do it all the time. Well, you're a brave soul. I'm not being mean. I'm just telling you. It's a terrible world we live in. Hey, when some of us in here, when we were children, we rode bikes all in the neighborhood. We stayed out after. Listen, our neighbors, we looked out after each other. The parents of other neighbors, parents looked out after each other's children. It's not that way anymore. There's people riding through neighborhoods looking to pick children up. That's the evil world we live in. It's real, brethren. It's real. But what's worse? You say, well, what's that have to do with the promise? It's not well with thee. It's not well with thee. Those people, are you listening, that are taking our little children and harvesting their organs and selling their little bodies, those people were one-time children and they were disobedient. Nobody took control of them. They're out of control. Our penitentiaries are filling up with our children. Are you listening to me? With our children. It would amaze you at what takes place in juvenile courts. You ought to get with some folks sometime and ask them some of the things that are going on, some of the things that our young people are doing. It's amazing. It's terrible. And so I just want you to know that it's real. And it's not well in our land. And the reason it's not well in our land, we can blame these young people all we want. Who's training them? Who's training them? The Bible says a child left to himself brings his mother to shame. I'm not saying your children are that way. I'm just saying be careful. Don't let them become that way. Don't think your child cannot become that way. I've never, I'm a pastor. I've been in the hospital and held many newborn babies. Many. And I've never had one father or mother yet hold me that newborn baby and say, look here, Pastor, this is the next murderer of our city. Never had one say that. Look here, this is going to be the next thief in our city. This is going to be the next crackhead in our county. Never had one of them say that. But can I tell you, I've lived long enough to see those children become all of those things that I've just said. Nobody ever thinks it's going to be their children. So you be careful now. Don't get loose here. Don't get loose. Don't think, well, my children's home free. We got this thing whipped. Oh, no. No. Keep your guard up at all times, brethren. Keep your guard up at all times. I'm just trying to help you as a parent here. Keep your guard up at all times. All right? You say, I'm growing weary. Stick with the fight. Listen, your children's worth fighting for. Can it, somebody please say amen with me there? Your children's worth fighting for. All right? Your grandchildren's worth fighting for. Keep fighting. Don't you give up on your children. Don't you give up on your grandchildren. Don't you turn your children over to the devil. Don't you let the devil in the world have your children. You keep fighting. He said here, I want to give you a promise. He said the promise is it'll go well with thee in the land. It's not going well in this land. You know why? Because parents quit training their children. We got more interested in things. That's right. We're working all the time. Kids at home by themselves. You know what I'm saying, so. Kids at home by themselves. Unsupervised. Do what they want, when they want, with who they want. That's no way for a child to come up. So I trust my children, preacher. My. I don't know that I could hear a more ignorant statement that could come from the mouth of a parent. You trust your children. I can tell you this, my children, and they attend this church, and you can ask them anytime you feel free. I've had them tell me more than once, you don't trust me? I'd say, well, I'll put it this way, I don't trust the devil. How about that? I don't trust the devil. It's like the young lady who turned 15 and she was getting ready to go out with a little fella, and the dad looked at the young man. He said, you have her home by 9 o'clock. He said, 9 o'clock? She said, Dad, 9 o'clock, I'm not a little girl anymore. He said, that's why I want you home by 9 o'clock. So we've let up, brethren. And you know what I'm saying, so. I could go on and on and on with things. We allow children to be disobedient. We allow them to talk back. We allow them to roll their eyes. If your child ever rolls their eyes at you, you've lost them. Are you listening? You've lost them. I challenge you. And I don't want to make this about me. But I do want you to know what I'm preaching, I practice. All right? I have four children. All of them attend this church. You be sure to go to them and ask them, did you ever roll your eyes at your dad? You be sure to go to them and ask them that. That doesn't make me anything other than I took it serious. You see, I came up in a home where things were not, it was just chaos. Chaotic. And I don't mean that to be mean. I'm very thankful that I got what I got. Listen, I lived a great life, but I'm telling you right now, I was left to myself. All right? I was in places that I don't even want to talk about. But I made a vow before God, before our first child was born, God in heaven, if you will help me, it's going to be different for my children. And I meant it with everything within me. And I've, by the grace of God, my wife and I tried to stick with it. And we are by no means perfect, no means perfect. Made many mistakes, many parenting mistakes. But God sure was gracious and God sure was helpful. And I, by the grace of God, stuck with it. I was not going to give in. We had all kinds of pressure. All kinds of pressure. You're too hard on them, preacher. You're too hard on them. You're going to run them away. Where are you going to run them to? Seems like you're always whipping those kids. Well, now you don't know what you're talking about. I didn't have to whip my kids many times. I didn't have to whip them much. Why? Because when I give a whipping, I give a whipping. I don't like whipping, preacher. Well, you know, you get with me after service and I'll show you some scripture where you need to get to whipping your kids. Amen? That's why we got folks running around talking back to the parents. Telling the parents, I've heard it come straight out of the mouth. Go to hell! Let me tell you something. Child ever says something like that to me, it's not going to end well. All right? I've heard it come out of their mouth. All right? Roll their eyes. Talk back to them. Call them curse words. They're parents. The Bible says here, honor thy father and thy mother. But parents, don't listen to me. Children don't come out of the womb honoring. You've got to teach them to honor. You've got to give them something to honor. You've got to get them in this book right here and teach them to honor and reverence God. You're the first God they know. I want you to listen to me now. When the disciples went to Jesus and they said, Lord, teach us to pray. Who are we praying to? He said, I want you to know that you have a Father and He's in heaven. He said, you need to view your God as your Father. Your children, my children, view us as their parents. We are the first God they know. I want you to know that. What kind of God are you? You a cheating God? You a lying God? Condemning God? You see, the little children see that stuff, and we think they don't see it, brethren. But I'm here to tell you, that's why a lot of our young people are mixed up. They don't know what to believe. They don't know who believe. They hear it one way from the preacher at church and go home, and mom and dad just does everything different. And they're confused. We had one young lady just recently, Sharon and I don't know what to believe. I come to church, and I hear this. I go home, and I hear that. They send me down there to that school, and I hear that. I don't know what to believe. No wonder our young people are in the condition they're in. We can't all even get on the same page with truth. Amen. And we seem to be okay with it. I want to tell you right now, listen to me. I'm not okay with it. I'm not okay with it. And I hope to God you're not okay with it. I hope you're not okay with that. I'm not okay with it. You say, well, you must be mad. I am, but not at you. I'm mad at the devil. And I'm not okay with the way that things are going on in our country, things are going on in our community, things are going on in our county, things are going on in our school system. I'm not okay with it. I've stood toe-to-toe with them. So I want you to know that, all right? And I don't want you to be okay with it. Take your stand. Don't let them change you. Don't let this rap listening, listen to me now, this rock listening, this rebel rousing crowd, don't let them change you. Stand firm on what you believe. You stand firm on the Word of God. Brethren, we have the truth. We don't have to hold our head down. Amen? I'm not going to walk around the community. I'm not the one out living like the devil. I'm not out the one out robbing and stealing and cheating and living immoral. I don't have to walk around my head down. I'm a child of the King. I'm a son of God. I can hold my head up and thank God that my sins are under the blood. Amen? You see what I'm saying? We need to raise our children right. Raise them right. Now, you say, preacher, who was that pointed to? I don't know. Anybody that was listening. You may not even have children in your home. But some of you do. And there's some listening by live stream that do. Don't let the devil have your children. It's work. It's work to be a parent. It's work. Children just don't come out reverencing and bowing down to you. You've got to invest in their life. You've got to spend time with them. You've got to teach them. You've got to train them. You've got to be there around them. That's just the way it is. You say, preacher, I've got to work 70, 80 hours a week. Well, you need to get you another job. That's easier for you to say. Well, I know what it is to work 60, 70 hours a week. I've done it. And then I realize it's not worth it. It's not worth it. I want to tell you something. You can stand to your feet. I don't want you to be mad at me now. Some of you look like you're shocked. I don't want you to be mad at me. I just want you to know something, all right? I'm dead serious about this. I'm about sick and tired of people saying, we need to do something for our children. Well, let's do it then. Let's do it. What are we going to do? Let's get it done. Talking's not going to do anything. How about you making some changes in your home? That might be a good start. Amen. That may be a good start. Is that right? I don't know if you need to make any changes in your home, but if you do, why don't you start there? That'd be a good start. And if I need to make them in my home, I'll make them. That's a good place to start. It's always a good place to start with yourself. Right? It is. You training your children? Are you parenting your children? You spending time with them? You teaching them to respect authority? Are you teaching them by not just your words, but your actions? Your children knows what's important to you, folks. They do. They know what's important to us. Let's bow our heads for a moment. Honor thy father and thy mother.